Welcome, everyone. I'm Mike.
I'm Michelle.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Ruben. And we're the host of the Four True Crime Idiots podcast. This is part one of our season finale. We're covering the Keddy Cabin murders.
Pretty interesting case.
Yeah. It's very graphic.
Very interesting, very graphic, very mysterious, too.
Yeah. How's everybody's weekend?
It was good.
That's good.
Great.
Right, what'd you guys do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Catch up on the Creep Show series on Shudder.
Oh, that's a good show.
I know, I like it. I'm already on season 2, episode 4, I think.
Stranger Things.
Oh, I saw that one too. Did y'all see it?
No spoilers.
Y'all never saw it? You haven't seen it yet?
Not yet.
You haven't seen it? Mike, have you seen it?
I need the final episode, though.
Oh, I watched the final episode.
Yeah. No spoilers. But by the time this comes out,
it won't be a spoiler anymore.
It won't be a spoiler.
Then you make sure you all go on Facebook then.
I've already snoozed different pages for 30 days.
I think I'm going to have to do that.
Yes. That's a very nice function they have.
It's a good one. You're all going to like it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hope so.
You're all going to be on your toes?
Did the guy play his guitar?
When is season 5 going to come out?
I hope that as long as we had to wait for this season.
Well, they were saying that this one, we had to wait for this one was because of the COVID whole thing. That's why it took so long. But since it's already they're COVID. But I think they have put a thing on Facebook or somewhere saying that it is going to come out soon. Everyone's talking about 2 years, and I'm about to have
I think it's going to be in the 90s now.
Yeah, they're going to say they're going to fast forward to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Hopper and
no spoilers.
That's a long time.
Michelle, shut up. No spoilers.
I'm sorry. Still okay for not binge watching like I do. Sorry.
I can't binge watch.
My Bushmill.
Why not?
Why can't you binge watch?
I get bored. Hmm? I tend to get bored real fast.
I know what you mean, though, because yesterday I was binge watching the Creep Show, mm-hmm. and Zoe and I had left off on season 1 on Thursday. So she left Friday, so I started watching it. You know where we left off?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm telling you, I fell asleep right in the middle of season 2. Satana woke me up with her barking right in the middle of season 3. I was like,
you fell asleep?
I fell asleep. I crashed out hardcore.
That's what I'm afraid of.
And then have to start all over again?
Yeah.
That's happened to me 100 times.
You fall asleep?
I get bored.
Oh.
That's what happened to me when I was trying to get into that Lock and Key one. But I think I had already binge watched. I don't know what show. And I started watching it, but I couldn't binge watch it because I got bored.
Oh.
With certain ones, I do get bored.
Yeah.
Where I can only do an episode at a time.
Yeah. What shows are you guys into right now? Besides Stranger Things.
Mine is Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries.
Season 4, baby. I'm on season 4. And let me tell you, pretty good show. I slept on it. I remember I didn't want to watch it.
How about Ben? How about you?
Not really in shows. I watch more movies.
More movies? More movies.
Actually, the last thing I was watching was a documentary.
What was it about?
Yeah, you had to see that.
The FLDS. It was a religious thing. Polygamists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are good.
I think it was nearby here in Texas.
Oh.
Or something like that.
Oh, that's a guy that got arrested.
Yeah.
The Warren guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. How about you, Mike?
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
I need to catch up on that one, too.
That's a good show.
It is, man.
It is. I love it.
What was I going to tell you? I want to watch The Terminal List.
What's that one about?
With Chris Pratt. I don't know what it's about. I haven't seen it.
No, but it's on,
It's on Prime Video.
Oh. Look at you, you have Prime Video?
Yes.
I was starting to watch the reboot of The Stand on Prime Video. It was pretty... It's pretty good so far.
What, The Stand?
The Stand.
It's different.
The remake?
Yeah, the remake.
And you watched it on Prime Video?
Yeah.
Don't you have Paramount?
Oh, I'm sorry, Paramount. Is it Prime or Paramount? I think it was Paramount. Yeah, I think it was that one.
Yeah.
I started watching it. I finished watching it.
I was going to say, don't pay for that.
No, that's right. It was Paramount. Forgot.
You know who has Bravo or the Real Housewives? Peacock.
I saw that. Do they have all of them or just some of them?
I don't know. I know They have an original.
They have
Yeah.
There's one. Oh, yeah, Miami one. I think they're the one who picked up the Miami one. I think they also do one where they get all of the ones who are not on the show anymore.
Yeah.
And put them on a girls' trip to see how they all get along.
I don't watch that show, by the way, people.
I bet you do.
I bet
don't
you watch do. That.
Secretly. Late at night, right?
No. No.
That no hesitated.
I know, right?
Okay.
You put it on the, what's the one I'm looking for?
I watch Mercy Road, guys.
Mercy Road. That's very
weird. Yes. I'm not lying. Good show.
Hey, Angela Lansbury. Hey, they're talking about bringing back Who's the Boss? Not like with, not a remake, but with the original characters, like a reboot of almost, but like with them coming out.
Mm.
I don't know. I know for sure Tony Danza and Alyssa Milano. I don't know who else is coming out.
Okay, now back to the topic, guys.
Yes.
That's a very interesting case.
Yeah.
Okay, so without further ado, let's go to the Idiot Criminal Club.
All right. Welcome to this segment of the Four True Crime Idiots podcast. We call it the Idiot Criminals Club. Here is today's Idiot Criminal Club inductee. Take it away, Mike.
Yeah. Fake hitman website fools woman who is headed to jail. Site's owner contacted Michigan police. By Liz McGahan, newser staff. Posted November 14th, 2021. A real woman tried to hire a hitman on a fake website. Unfortunately for Wine and perhaps fortunately for her ex, that site is owned not by a hitman but computer professional Bob Ines, who initially launched it in 2005 to promote a hacking prevention business. Years later, he started checking the site's inbox and found a lot of disturbing requests, not related to that business. Since then, he's made the site into an obvious joke, and when he gets requests, he returns them over to police, KPIX reports. That's what he did with Wine, who used a synonym, but her otherwise real contact information. Wine put in her service request on the site that her ex had stolen $20,000 from her and said she didn't want to commit the crime herself. I prefer not going to jail, she wrote, per the Daily Mail. Ines forwarded that to Michigan State Police, who posed as people affiliated with the site to contact Wine. She gave the detective her ex's address and told him when and where he works, and a $200 down payment on the 5,000 tab for the murder. They charged her, and she pleaded guilty Friday and can serve up to 9 years in prison, Fox 2 reports.
Yeah, so crazy. You know what, though? I saw something like that happen on TV when I was watching one of those. I think it was on ID Go.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those shows that they had. I forgot which one it was. Might have been like one of those cop shows, right? Yeah. And no, it was one of those. Anyway, this chick, her dude found out that she had hired someone to kill him, so she set her up, right? Yeah. So what they did was that day that it was supposed to happen, they made it look like it happened. So when she got a call saying like something was wrong with her dude, right? They caught it on film.
Yeah.
And she see her rushing over there, right? And she's all crying and the cops are there and they're telling her, hey, back up. You know, you need to tell me what's going on. You know, like, what was he into? All this stuff. She's like, I don't know. She is all like fake crying and shit. So they take her to the station. And then I think he walks in and shit like that. And she was like, what? She got all busted and shit. She's like crying even more because she got busted. I was like, you dummy. I don't think that really happened. I think they just said like, okay, we're gonna. So, and he took him to court. I think that's when she found out she was alive. I don't think he came out. I think the cops told her.
Oh.
Like, hey, he's not really dead. Yeah. You know, he found out that you, but I don't know how he found out. I don't know. The hitman had went and told the cop.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cops went and told him.
That's funny how. Red-headed man. Red-headed man.com.
I did not know that, but why would anyone...
Just sound open like that.
Right? Was it called again? What was it called?
You can't fix stupid.
That's crazy. Yeah. It would have been funny if you put, also call 1-800-RENT-A-HITMAN.
A phone number?
Phone number too, see?
It's toll free.
Can you imagine? Wow. 9 years.
I hope they got a divorce.
Probably.
I hope he divorced her.
All right. Oh, man. I must have been pretty bad. Or he must have been pretty bad.
Right.
Stole, what, $20,000 from her? She said.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
That he stole $20,000 from her.
What a dumbass girl.
Did she make up that $20,000 that he stole?
I'm for sure.
Or you think she just made any reason to kill him?
Well, I mean, if she stole $20,000, I would like to think she would try to get him to go to court.
Right.
I mean, why would you kill someone over $20,000?
Maybe an insurance.
Maybe.
Oh?
Maybe she could get it back from that.
But if we stole it from her, though, that would have meant that she had it already in her account.
That's true.
I mean, I know what you're talking about, yeah. Like insurance policy, like, yeah. You know, kill them so I can get that 20.
Mm-hmm.
But stole it from her.
Yeah, she said stole.
She probably wanted the 20,000.
I don't know. I am with Ben, though. I think she was coming up with a reason to to kill him. I mean, I wouldn't be like, I hate his guts. I just want him dead.
Great.
But I don't know, though, because he said that he's gotten some weird-ass requests, right?
Yep.
He probably does get a lot of those.
Are people that stupid that they think that's a real hitman site?
Apparently they are.
Well, right, because you would think, but then...
It's not the dark web, it's just a regular website.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, I don't know how they would think someone would actually, like, put something like that.
Should be very suspicious.
For real.
Right?
In fact, I'm surprised that website hadn't been reported.
Right. By something,
unless
yeah.
he was in cahoots
that's
with
true.
The...
No, he's just...
He just did it on his own.
On his own, yeah.
Can you imagine how many people's lives he saved just by that alone? God. Yeah. That's crazy.
I never thought about that.
I wonder how many of them actually was going to go through with it and how many actually would just want to do it because in the heat of the moment, they were just pissed off and they found right. it. You know what I'm trying to get yes. at? I hate that motherfucker. Kill
him. I'm going to go rent a line. Rent a hitman.com.
Rent a hitman. But how do they come across it, though? Like, do you Google hitman? Like, who's going to... What hitman's going to advertise their services online?
Online.
Hitman. How to find a hitman.
Maybe she thinks Google is the dark web.
Simple.
Right?
I mean, even then, they're giving themselves up because nowadays you can search people's history.
Yeah, that's true.
Either way, she's going to get caught.
Yeah.
He's helping the police, so they probably just have him help him.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I wonder what her family thinks. If I was the mom, I would have been standing there looking at her like this.
Shaking my head.
I mean.
Come on. Man.
I know. I mean, we all thought about our exes at one point. We just want to, you know?
I'll try. Yeah.
But, I mean, to actually go through with it, though, the worst I would say is, like, I hope he trips over his own feet.
Break a leg.
Have your knees breaking.
Okay.
Stupid.
Yes, yeah, very stupid. Okay, let's move on to the main case.
Okay.
Kitty Cabin Murders.
Oh my gosh. This Michael, is the one.
For some reason, Michael calls it the Kitty Cabin
Murders. Kitty? Kitty? Is it Kitty or Kitty?
It's Kitty.
Kitty, right?
The Kitty Cabin Murders.
How am I saying it?
You say Kitty.
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 Kitty Cabin Murders.
Kitty.
Kitty?
Kitty.
That's what I keep saying. And you keep repeating it. Now it sounds like you're saying Kitty.
No.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the main case now.
All right.
The Kitty Cabin Murders.
Ooh. This is the one case that haunts me forever because it was between my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
See, between April 11th and April 12th.
It actually was on your birthday, actually, because it was on the morning of April 12th.
See? Yeah. So that was the one for me. But strange. I found this case actually going through a paranormal stuff because... The cabin itself is what they actually were talking about.
We're going to take another detour?
No. I won't take a detour this time. Not a long-ass one. But I'm just saying that's how I came across the case. I was just looking up something about paranormal and buildings. I think that's what it was. And that popped up. So it kind of intrigued me. So for a good while, I was all into the case because I was just trying to figure out, like...
It was real interesting.
It was, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean...
Weird.
Very weird. Take it away, Mike. Let's get into the case.
The Kitty Cabin Murders are an unsolved quadruple homicide which took place over the night of April 11th through the 12th, 1981, in Kitty, California. The victims were Glenna Susan Sharp, also known as Sue. She was 36 years old. Susan's son, John Stephen Sharp, 15 years old, and John's friend, Dana Hall Wingate, 17 years old. And Susan's daughter, Tina Louise Sharp, 12 years old. Susan's daughter, Tina Louise Sharp, was missing. The girl's skull was found in the woods 3 years later, some 50 miles away in another county.
Wow.
Yeah, that's because there's a lot of, like, well, that was one of them, where people were kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, of course, she was missing,
like,
and then her...
Confused
as to where she could have gone. Actually,
not confused, but, like...
They had thought that maybe she was the reason why they got killed. Maybe they thought they were trying to kidnap her. And the mom walked in, and then they got the mom.
Yeah.
And then the guys walked in right when they got the mom, and then they got the guys. So there's this the whole speculation as to what happened, why they got killed.
Yep.
All the way to where it could have been because of the two boys, you know, hitching a ride home and them being strangers or...
You don't hitchhike anymore, people. Don't hitchhike.
Well, nowadays, yeah, but back in the day, everyone did it.
Most got murdered.
I mean, that's when all of it started happening, yeah.
It was the 80s.
They were careless.
Late 70s, early 80s when everything started happening.
Yep.
Serial killers.
Yeah.
The murders took place in cabin number 28 of the Kitty Resort. The bodies of Sue, John, and Dana were found in the morning of April 12th by Sue's 14-year-old daughter, Sheila Sharp, who had been sleeping at a friend's house. Sue's two younger sons, Rick and Greg, as well as their friend Justin Smart, were also in the house but were unharmed.
Huh. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, that's where they were saying that it was weird as to why it was just them three that were harmed. Yeah. But... They managed to leave the...
Those two alone.
So the two alone. So, go ahead.
But one was a neighbor, right?
One was a neighbor, yeah.
Yeah.
That he had to get over. But that's what they're speculating that... That's how it went back to maybe they were after Sue. Mm-hmm. But they just didn't know that the boys were upstairs.
Well,
They probably didn't search the place.
Yeah, they probably didn't search the place or anything. They just... Because they went from all these motions, but one of them was... That they were after Sue because, I don't know, I forgot what the reasons were. Yeah. But that they were just after her and, because I think one had said that she had gone out.
Yeah.
Kids didn't hear nothing?
No, they were asleep.
I know.
As I mentioned earlier, Tina was missing from the case and remained a missing person until April 1984, when her skull and several other bones were recovered at Camp 18, California, near Feather Falls in Butte County.
I wonder if they were going that way or they...
So they were saying that maybe they... Okay, so then also they thought that maybe the little kids didn't hear anything, that maybe Tina did.
So she came out?
So she came out, saw what was going on.
And they took her?
And they took her.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, and they thought that maybe they might have done something to her right there in that area, and that's why it's found where it's found.
Mm.
So there's that speculation also.
Yeah.
But I mean, they found her skull, just her skull?
That's right.
Bones? Other bones.
Several other bones.
Okay. Oh, yeah, several other bones. So it wasn't like, I thought maybe they might have just like decapitated her or something, but no.
Mm-hmm. They were there.
But why take her?
Why not just kill her? I think because she was a witness, maybe, and they didn't want her to, like, if they just didn't do anything with her, they just let her be.
Yep. For real.
Yeah. She just, you know, maybe stumble onto it. Or maybe she...
Ren?
Or maybe she saw who it was and who, and later on you'll see who the two main suspects are. And saw that it was really them.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know what to do with her, so.
Killed her. I think I heard they raped her too, possibly.
Possibly, yeah. That's the thing. No one really knows what happened to her because by the time they found her remains, it was already too late to even determine. But that's where they might have been speculating.
Yeah.
That maybe they went in for them too, maybe also, you know, because they're female, so maybe they thought they were home alone.
Yep.
And then maybe they thought that the two boys walked in right in the middle of everything and just kind of like...
Yeah.
Because it was enough to where they're saying you could tell where the boys fought back.
Yeah.
So...
There was a struggle.
Multiple leads and suspects were examined in the intervening years, though no charges were filed. Several new leads were announced in the 21st century, including the discovery of a hammer in a pond in 2016, as well as announcements regarding the discovery of new DNA evidence.
Hmm.
I'm wondering if they also questioned her ex and see if he was abusive.
Right, back in Connecticut?
Yeah, and I'm wondering because I think this was a spot that she always go to. It wasn't like she just randomly just went just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a thing that they always went to.
Like he might have set it up?
Huh?
He might have set it up?
Not set it up that maybe he found out where she was at.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's like, oh, well, that's her go-to vacation spot.
With her brother.
And let me go and see and pop up. Maybe that's why the boys were fighting. But that's
true.
If they even considered the ex a suspect. I would have thought so because don't they always assume that it's the ex that they're abusive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Right?
They go to them. Maybe they figured he was so far away. I'm pretty sure they had to have checked, right? But then these cops were like...
Well, that's what they were saying also, too, about how the cops were messing with the whole evidence and...
Real messy.
Scene. Yeah, they were really, really, really messy about it, which is sad. But then if they're really, really messy about it, does that mean they just never really had a crime like that before?
Possibly. It's and a they small didn't know what to town. Do,
right?
Yeah, I looked at the map, and it's real small.
So, I don't know.
Nobody heard anything?
Mm-mm. I know.
No, that's the thing. That's why they're saying it was a weird case, because they don't understand how... Because they're saying the cabin 28 is in the middle of all the other cabins.
Yeah.
But when you see it... Have you seen pictures of it?
Yeah.
When you see, they're not that far apart.
Yeah.
They're not like one little thing here, and then like 3, 4, 5 feet away, there's another one. I mean, they're all just real close by. So no one understood why was it that no one heard a struggle, no one heard any screaming.
I'm pretty sure there was yelling.
Yelling?
I think one of the neighbors did hear like muffled scream.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, but they just didn't.
They didn't think anything of it.
Yeah. Well, perfect example. Like last night when my neighbors were arguing.
True.
I mean, I didn't hear them. It took Satana for her to keep barking for me to, you know, to go see what was going on.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
And you don't know how some couples play, you know, how they play fight.
Least of the better episode. Where were you going with that?
No, I mean like you know, when they're playing around or whatever, not like that. But like just joking or laughing or whatever, being stupid. But I don't know your case, but yeah, that's what everyone was talking about, how no one heard anything.
Let's talk about the background.
Okay.
In July 1979, Sue Sharp, along with her 5 children, left her home in Connecticut after separating from her abusive husband, James Sharp. She decided to relocate to Northern California, where her brother, Don, was residing at the time.
Okay, so there's that thing with the husband.
Yeah.
So he was abusive. I just hope they investigated him, too.
Yeah. I think he should be a suspect.
Yeah. Even if he was...
Probably didn't go to him first.
Hopefully they did.
Internet,
anyway? I haven't seen anything.
Did they?
Okay, so it was a house. I thought it was like a little, like a cabin, like to go rent for the summer.
No, it's just like a house.
It was a house.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But nobody heard nothing about but were they gagged, though? Did they say, did they mention of them being like...
I think they were.
Maybe that's why no one heard anything?
I think they were. But like, during struggle...
Hmm?
They would have yelled.
Yeah, during the struggle.
During the struggle, they would have been yelling.
Yeah. Very odd.
Upon arriving in California, she began renting a small trailer formerly occupied by her brother at the Claremont Trailer Village in Quincy. The following fall, she moved to house number 28 in the rural Sierra Nevada resort town of Kitty.
Wow. So she was living somewhere else before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In another little town. I wonder if you can still live in those cabins.
No, they tore them all down.
They tore them all down?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
They closed it after. They said that after that, business was... That's why I'm saying, like, I thought it was a little resort, like, where people go on vacation for the summer or whatever, because they were saying... No, because they had said that they had closed it down because business went down after that.
Oh, so it was at one time.
Yeah, I think around the time that she was doing it, I think it was also where you can go on vacation with, because it was like a little resort thing and whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what they were saying, that once that happened, no one wanted to go back. That's how the whole haunted thing with the cabin started going on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if they did a walkthrough one time, and I think it was left the way it was. Like, not with blessings or anything.
Oh, yeah.
But
the way it was.
Yeah, before they knocked it down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They knocked it down?
But they knocked it down.
Yeah.
The house was much larger than the trailer and had become available when Plumas County's then Sheriff Sylvester Douglas Thomas moved out. There she lived with her 15-year-old son, John, 14-year-old daughter, Sheila, 12-year-old daughter, Tina, and 2 younger sons, Rick, 10, and Greg, 5. On April 11th, 1981, around 11:30 a.m., Sue, Sheila, and Greg drove from the residence of their friends, the Meeks family, to pick up Rick, who was attending baseball tryouts, Gansner Field in Quincy. They happened to drive upon John and his friend Dana Hall Wingate hitchhiking at the mouth of the canyon from Quincy to Kitty and picked them up, then drove about 6 miles to Kitty.
There you go. Don't hitchhike. Don't hitchhike.
Yeah, man. Nobody learns their lesson.
Back then, it was fun times.
Do people still hitchhike?
No.
I don't know.
Rarely.
Some people try. Now, if they succeed, it's a different story. I've seen a few where
They stick out their arms.
Or they have a sign saying they need a ride or whatever, but...
I won't pick them up.
Not these days.
Man, if you
unless I know the person.
Well, yeah, if you know the person, yeah. But do you really know a person?
I don't know. Different times. They could turn against you.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I'm telling you.
Might be desperate about something.
Damn killers. 2 hours later, around 3:30 p.m., John and Dana hitchhike back to Quincy, where they may have had plans to visit friends.
Okay, so the other guys, so they were already seen hitchhiking, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It says here they picked up, or she picked up John and his friend. Yeah, because while she was doing her errands, she came across John and his friend Dana.
Oh, okay.
She picked him up. And then 2 hours later after that is when everyone saw him and Dana hitch back to Quincy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where they may have plans to visit friends.
Yes.
So they weren't at the house when it happened?
No.
No, that's where they were saying that they probably walked into it either after the fact or while it was happening. And that's why they got murdered also. It kind of makes you think, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, for instance, they couldn't find a ride back.
Yeah.
And they had to walk, if they would still be alive. Mm-hmm. Because that would determine exactly
that is true.
Who it was meant for. If it was meant just for Sue, or maybe for Tina, and like, and they got Sue to get to Tina.
I think it was for Sue.
You think it, yeah.
And then Tina
dropped in.
Well, no, it was for Sue, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me start over. My brain's going 100 miles per hour. I think it was meant for Sue, but those two guys walked in, right?
Yeah.
And then they killed them, and then Tina walked in.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Probably true.
So Tina walked in, she wasn't already there?
No, she was already there.
Yeah, she's already there, but...
So maybe they killed her because she was a witness?
She was supposed to spend a night with her other sister, right?
No, her sister was the only one who was going to save her at her friend's. She at that time was staying at her friend's, just chilling until 9:30.
And she went back home. Tina went back home.
And then Tina went, So they switched over. So like, I guess when she then went to her friend's, it's when Tina came home.
Okay.
And was going to stay home.
Oh man, she should have stayed.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Everything happens.
Well, they didn't know.
Well, they didn't know. Of course, no one knows, but, so, I mean, and no one really knows exactly what time the murder took place, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, who's to say that maybe she walked in the middle of everything? But what time did John and... Did they say it was time when John and Dana got there?
I never heard. Well, let me see.
Around this time, the two were seen in the city's downtown area. That same evening, Sheila had plans to spend the night with a Seabolt family who lived in an adjacent home while Sue remained at home with Rick, Greg, and the boy's young friend, Justin Smart.
So those other two guys were in the downtown area.
Yeah. They're saying that the whole time that the thing was going on...
They were downtown.
They were saying that they were making their way back from downtown. So they're thinking... That's why they always thought that maybe... they're thinking that, too, also it could have been like whoever they hitched a ride with.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe they kind of forced their way into the...
Oh, yeah.
Because they're hitchhiking. Unless you know them. But, like, if you don't know them... I mean, remember back in the day, that's when all the weirdos started coming out and...
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
A lot of those...
Those people that they drove back with could be suspects.
Yeah. A couple of guys have picked them up. I think that's I read somewhere.
Yeah.
Because they're saying that it could have been a two-man job and not a one-man job.
Yeah.
Could have been...
That's right. The guy who picked them up.
It makes sense.
Are people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that bit cool they had an exact time of death.
All right.
But I guess back in that time they didn't
have that kind of technology.
That kind of like technology to say like, oh well, only what to say like what time they ate last.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, they had supper at this time. Didn't really help any. Because I'm wondering if maybe when Tina got home is when everything started happening. And that's why I'm wondering if they said what time these guys showed up at home. She showed up like at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, did this happen all in the summer, right? Maybe that's why I thought it was a summer house.
It was spring.
Hello, it was April.
Spring.
Hey, April 11th or 12th.
It could be summer here.
Yeah,
it happened April 11th or 12th.
So it doesn't say what time the boys got home?
No.
Well, I don't know.
I think they ever knew.
don't think so. Okay. That's what I'm trying to see. Is they? I guess they didn't really say what time.
Sheila departed cabin 28 shortly after 8 p.m., leaving her mother alone with the younger children. Tinu had been watching television at the Seabolt residence return home to number 28 around 9:30 p.m. after Sheila arrived at the Seabolt to spend the night.
So I guess once Sheila got there...
She left.
Why she leave? She didn't want to.
She wasn't spending the night. Yeah, she wasn't spending the night. But look, it says here that at 3:30, John and Dana hitchhiked back to Quincy, where they were staying with the brother.
Wait, whose brother?
2 hours later, around 3:30, John and Dana hitchhiked back to Quincy. So they went back to Quincy, and that's where the brother was living at, in that town, Quincy. At 3:30, that's where they were hitching back to Quincy to go visit friends over there. How far is Quincy to this place?
It's not that far.
It's not? Just like right there?
This is like connecting towns.
Okay, so they got it right over there.
Yeah, it's probably from here to Hondo.
So maybe they got it. Needle. Okay, so about 30 minutes? 5 minutes?
Yeah, about 10. 15.
15?
Yeah.
So maybe, I'm wondering. Then it has to have been somebody from, they picked him up on the way back from Quincy then.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure they were going to hitchhike back to. Is the brother a suspect? What brother?
Her brother.
Whose brother?
Sue's brother.
What?
Look.
They're dead, aren't they?
Sue's brother. I'll get by her brother. Her brother owns the
Brother Village in
Quincy.
I thought you were talking about Sheila.
No. What are you talking about?
That's what you're saying. I'm sorry, guys. I haven't heard anything about him being a suspect. There's two for sure I know. We'll discuss later. They're not brothers.
Oh, the two main ones, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I've only heard about those.
Those are freaky tiki dudes, right? Yes. They're weird. Yeah. I mean, just the way they were describing them, I was already getting the heebie-jeebies from them.
Heebie-jeebies.
The heebie-jeebies. And the one that's married to that one. Ooh, dude.
Oh, yes.
What?
The two main suspects?
Oh,
yeah.
I was saying that just the way they were describing them, they are sounding weird. I was all like getting a bad vibe off of them.
Okay, now let's talk about the murders and the discovery.
Around 7 a.m. on the morning of April 12th, Sheila returned to cabin 28 and discovered the dead bodies of Sue, John, and Dana in the house's living room.
Okay, so sometime between 9:30 the previous night and 7 a.m.
They were murdered.
Yeah. They were murdered.
Yep.
No noises.
No one knows how long. They're probably tortured.
Yep.
At least the mom, because the way they're describing her injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I feel like it was more meant for Sue, and I feel like they walked in on it. I think all three of them walked in. I think Tina walked in. Last minute. Like, I think she did when she probably heard John and
what was the name, Dana?
Yeah, Dana. Yeah. You know, fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was one man and two guys were coming at him, can those two guys take him down?
That's what I think. It's more than one.
Right? Because I think
it has to be more than one.
I mean, even if you're a strong, strong man.
Yep.
I mean.
Judging by the way they found Sue, I think it was for her.
Yeah, I think it was for her too.
I think so.
Yeah.
All three have been bound with medical tape and electrical cords. Tina was absent from the home while the three younger children, Rick, Greg, and Justin, were unharmed in the adjacent bedroom.
So she was already taken?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's where they were saying, like when they...
When Sheila walked in, she was already gone.
Yeah. Well, I think after... I think they didn't discover that she was gone until after everyone had... Because, you know, she just walked in, saw what she saw, and then went to go get help.
Yeah.
And, I think after they just went and I think they realized that Tina wasn't there. Yeah.
Medical tape doesn't necessarily mean that field, does it?
No. You could find it.
Oh, yeah. You can find medical tape. Like if you hurt yourself and you rather do the gauze than the regular Band-Aid, then you could use the medical tape for that.
Yeah.
Buy a CVS.
Yeah. Yep. But that means someone must have had a shitload of it if all of them had medical tape around
them. Unless they found it in the house.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, that's a lot of medical tape.
Yeah.
Either way.
Initial reports stated that the three young boys had slipped through the incident, though this was later contradicted.
Yeah. I can't believe they slipped through that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what a lot of people were saying And it's true. Because, like, my son's 10, and he doesn't go to bed early right away, you know. There's times where I have to, like, force him to go to bed.
Yeah.
But he is a heavy sleeper, though. There's some kids that can't
sleep. So when he sleeps, he sleeps.
When he sleeps, he sleeps. And, like, you can, like, try to wake him up so he can move. And he'll start blabbering about something else. And so, he's still, like...
So it's kind of plausible.
It's plausible. Mike and Ginny can sleep through anything. I remember one time we had to spend the night and I heard a noise.
Not about anymore.
Well, not anymore. But like when we were younger, he was... Well, Ginny probably can. But yeah, it's plausible.
Yeah. Okay.
But the little one, see, that's where I'm having a hard time with. Because the little ones, the five-year-old...
They wake up.
Yeah. They're always moving around. If they move, you move an inch, they're there with you. Before you know it, they're standing right behind you.
Especially if they're screaming.
Yeah.
True. Yep.
So maybe, who knows, maybe they were awake, was hearing what was going on, but they just stayed in the room and did nothing.
They were smart enough to stay in there.
Yeah. And they just fell asleep.
Yep. That could be.
Upon discovering the scene, Sheila rushed back to the Seabolt's house, whereupon Jamie Seabolt retrieved Rick, Greg, and Justin through the bedroom window. He later admitted to having briefly entered the home through the back door to see if anyone was still alive, potentially contaminating evidence in the process.
So he entered, walked in, and he went back out?
I guess so.
To the bedroom window?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose.
No.
Right?
No, I don't think so.
No, he was just checking to see if there was anything.
He had a good intention.
Yeah.
Not a good move.
Yeah, but that must have been a terrible sight.
To see.
Yeah.
To see and then actually see, like, there's no way anyone's going to be alive.
Never mind him. I mean, imagine being the little girl walking into
that. Well, yes. I mean, how old is she? 12? 14? Either way. I think she was 14.
Yeah.
Right? She was 14?
I think so.
Yeah. She was 14. Oh, yeah. Being 14, walking in, seeing your mom that way.
Yeah.
Seeing your brother and his friends that way.
All victims had suffered blunt force trauma by hammer or hammers. They also all sustained multiple stab wounds. A bent steak knife was on the floor. A butcher knife and claw hammer, both also bloody, were side by side on a small wooden table near the entry into the kitchen.
Oh. The knife was bent? Oh, man, can you imagine the force?
I know.
What made it bent? The bone or the floor?
Maybe the bone.
The force. Oh. I think the force of it. That's what they were saying, that whoever did it must have been very angry at her.
Mm-hmm.
For it to bend that way. Because they're saying, like, if you're stabbing it with that much force to where it's bent,
mm-hmm.
that means you had some kind of hatred towards that person.
Mm.
Or you're just, you know, like,
oh. Angry.
But I don't know if it's mentioned in any of these, but they kind of touch the subject as to why those two main suspects... Mm-hmm. That they're looking at,
uh-huh.
as to why they're blaming them.
I know one, because his wife, right?
Yeah, because there is one there. Okay, because with the whole thing though that we're gonna discuss on the next one though, that's the thing. Yeah. We talk about it right now, and then we're discussing it.
Yeah.
Before we just actually discussed it, but one of it has to do with that guy's. Well, not her per se, but him and his friend.
Yeah.
Blood splatter evidence from inside the house indicated that the murders of Sue, John, and Dana had all taken place in the living room.
So it was all in that one room.
Yeah, it didn't go any further but that room. Which comes to make me think that that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe she had all the kids upstairs asleep, getting ready for bed.
Yeah.
Depending on, I didn't look up what those dates landed on. If it was the weekend, or it has to be the weekend. If they were driving around at 11:30, right?
I wonder if my phone will. I wonder if we can find it on Google.
Because, you know, maybe they're in the middle of... Maybe they were in the middle of raping the mom.
What year was it?
79. No, 81.
81.
79 is when they moved over there, right?
Yeah.
81. Yeah. April 11th through April 12th, 1981. I just turned one.
I wasn't born yet. I was born a few months later.
It was on the 11th and 12th? Yeah, it was a weekend. Saturday and Sunday.
So what were you saying about the weekend?
Well, no, because that's what they were saying, that they were driving around at 11:30.
That's true.
So, school's going on at that time. So, that's why I was like, it had to be a weekend because, unless...
They didn't go to
school. Not that they didn't go to school, but like...
Homeschooled,
maybe?
I don't know.
Babe.
They probably went to school.
No, I'm pretty sure they went to school.
Yeah.
But...
Sue had been covered partially with a blanket, even though that had done little to hide her gruesome injuries. On her side, the mother of five was naked from the waist down, tightly gagged with a bandana and her own underwear secured with medical tape. She had injuries consistent with a struggle and had an imprint of the butt of an 880 pellet gun on the side of her head.
Jeez. You left an imprint of the butt of it?
Yeah.
That's some force.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's so good.
An imprint.
And they stuffed her mouth with jail.
Ugh. Bandana. Her own underwear.
That's why I think it was... They came for her. I wonder if they found evidence of rape.
I know.
Because why else would you have somebody bottomless?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
That's terrible.
Sue had also been stabbed in the chest. Her throat was stabbed horizontally, the wound going through her larynx and nicking her spine.
Oof. Yeah. Jeez.
It got all the way back to her spine.
So let's say she just managed to survive. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't have been able to walk and it got her spine?
Probably not.
Possibly not.
Right? Yeah,
possibly not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how it's bad a crime are they? Of passion, how I think. Pissed off were you?
Maybe
that's how the knife bit when they stabbed her in the throat.
Oh, yeah.
And it got the spine.
They got issues. Or their person had issues.
But look, question. If their throat was slashed and the knife was bent, so did they slash the throat first and then stabbed her neck? Because if
you slash the throat, that's like a...
No, I don't think they slashed the throat. They cut the throat.
They just kind of like stabbed it. They never slashed it?
No.
Well, it says on the bottom.
It says in the bottom that...
We'll get there, bit.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody jumped the gun, Michelle. And we follow into her traps.
My bad. I thought we did 11 and 12.
One follows. One jumps ahead. We prove that we don't.
Sorry.
Both Sue's and John's throats were slashed.
There you go. They were slashed.
Okay, they were.
Slashed?
Yeah, so... So like you said, did he stab him first and then slash, or...
Yeah, because...
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. You slash your throat, they're probably going to die.
Well,
yeah.
Well, exactly, but that's my point. And then the knife's bent. I mean, if he stabbed him in the throat first and that's when the knife bent...
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to cut their throat? That would have been already... That was the only knife, right, they saw there? They didn't have...
I think so.
It was a hammer.
Couple hammers. Yeah, there was like two hammers.
Two hammers and the knife, right?
Yeah.
And then the cork...
One hammer was found in a pond.
In a pond.
Yeah.
2016?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Okay.
Hammered up.
Was it before or after?
What? The slash or the stabs?
Yeah.
Either way, that's overkill.
That is overkill. That's what I'm saying, like with
the
her.
Anger.
It was her. She was the one who was more brutal than
I think I read.
Dana had multiple head injuries and had been manually strangled to death.
He got strangled to death.
So why didn't his throat get... Maybe they killed Sue and John first, so it got bent. So they couldn't use it to slash his throat. So they went ahead and just strangled him manually.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right, Ben. That's true. They already ruined. Who's the one that said that?
Yeah.
The knife was already bent, so that's why he had to strangle the other kid.
I did.
Michelle.
You said, okay, I give credit to Michelle then.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yep.
John and Dana suffered blunt force trauma to their heads caused by a hammer or hammers. Autopsies determined that Sue and John died from the knife wounds and blunt force trauma, and Dana died of asphyxiation. Probably still alive after that. Beautiful.
Yes. That was terrible.
I mean, for kids, do you even need that much overkill? I mean, just that.
Yeah.
You don't even have to beat them with a hammer.
Well, you shouldn't be killing anyone.
Well, yeah, no, but...
I'm just kidding.
Well, that's what... The overkilling, I don't know. I don't understand it either.
I don't know. That's sad. Okay, that's all for part one of our season finale. The Keddie Cabin Murders. Hope you all enjoyed the first part. We'll have part two next week.
Hope you all enjoyed this episode of the 4 True Crime Idiots Podcast. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and please follow us, the 4 True Crime Idiots Podcast, on all of our social media platforms. All of the links will be in the description. Until the next episode.
Stay safe.
Beware of your surroundings.
Stay vigilant. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.